Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Good start. Good Lord, man. Back to 49ers.
Good morning, Kyle.
Nope, you got to turn your mic on. Good start. Really good start to this Monday. I'm not really sure what's going on, but we're here now, and we're going to do a radio show, even though we're starting a little bit early today, but that's fine. That's all good. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
We're back. We've never been more back. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, and this is the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And typically we start at 10 a.m., but I'm not really sure what's happening here. So we're live a little early, and that's fine. Because a disaster start to the show fits perfectly with the theme of today.
It does.
We don't get to do the 49ers are contenders. Oh, the 49ers, they got to figure something out. Or the 49ers are good. They're a couple plays away. Like, no. What you're seeing right now through 5 weeks, and there's 18 weeks to the season. The 49ers could turn it around. The Bengals could turn it around. All these teams that you see starting off slow that you thought, oh, okay, yeah, sure. Could they turn it around 100%? This is a bad team, dude. You don't get to smoke two fourth quarter leads, 10-point leads in the fourth quarter against division opponents who are supposed to be worse than you, and in the Rams' case, significantly worse. In a spot where you needed to beat L.A., you needed to beat Arizona, they're now 0-3 in the conference, 0-2 in the division.
Mm.
This is not a team that's on a path to playing championship-level football. This is a team that continues to make mistakes in the red zone. They're at 40.9% in the red zone for the year. That would have been 31st in the NFL last year, only better than the Zach Wilson Jets. They finally make a good special teams play, and on the very next special teams play, their kicker gets hurt. They turned the ball over three times. They're now 0-3 this year when they either tie or lose the turnover battle.
Mm.
They have problems up front on the offensive line. They have problems on the defensive line. They have problems at linebacker. They have problems at safety. And you start to look up and down this team, and this team that was supposed to be the best roster in the NFL on paper, as it currently sits after 5 weeks, is middling at best. This is not that good of a team.
It's a collection of really, really high-priced, really high-end talent that does not look like a team at all.
Yep.
And I don't know what happened here. I don't know where they go from here. But at this point, they don't look like a team that can compete, you know, not just for a championship, but for even a playoff spot.
Yep.
They're just hit and miss. And, you know, look, there are reasons and there are excuses, right? I don't want to make a bunch of excuses for the 49ers, but when your field goal kicker, whatever happened there, gets a high ankle sprain trying to tackle somebody, and then you don't have a field goal kicker and you don't feel comfortable with your punter kicking field goals, I guess, you know, that there's a reason. They would have had more points if it wasn't for the fact that their field goal kicker was gone. But But it's almost like they just weren't ready. They weren't prepared again. They weren't. They don't have that killer instinct and put somebody away. And that's a huge problem.
That they needed a field goal kicker to beat the Cardinals? That shouldn't have been a problem. 1-for-6 in the red zone? 1-for-5 in goal to go situations?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the Kyle Shanahan that was so aggressive for those couple of weeks, 4th and goal from the 2, decides to kick a 20-yard field goal? What?
Yeah.
You have Jordan Mason, who is the breakout star of the NFL this year. Brandon Ayuk is cooking. George Kittle's cooking. Deebo Samuel not involved for whatever reason.
Yeah, just MIA.
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
19 completions, 16 of them to George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk yesterday. Cool, Brandon Ayuk is back. 8 catches, 147 yards. Didn't matter a lick. I don't, this is the first time since 2017 that I think as you look at the 49ers' laundry list of problems, this is the first time that I think you have to turn and focus solely on the coaching staff. Because there's not one thing. James, if we were sitting here today and going, hey, the 49ers, man, the red zone scoring is bad, but you know everything else is really good. They'll figure it out in the red zone. And that's a thing you got to iron out and fix. But they've had turnover problems, special teams problems. They can't rush the passer. They stink at linebacker aside from Fred Warner. They're also not scoring in the red zone. They're turning the ball over. I think I might have said that twice, but whatever. They have all of this huge list of problems that all of a sudden you're going, hey, man, you have these protection breakdowns in blitz pickup that have Brock Purdy getting hit while he's throwing. And then Brock Purdy says after the game that he was locked into Brandon Ayuk and not even looking at George Kittle, who was wide open underneath. And then you've got Jordan Mason fumbling the ball in a spot where the only thing you cannot do as a ball carrier is fumble the football. How are you, this is all, if this was happening, here's how I'm trying to compartmentalize this. If this was happening to the New York Giants,
mm-hmm.
You would go, man, Brian Daboll is not a very good coach. We look at this week in and week out with the Jaguars. We go, man, hey, Doug Peterson is not that good of a coach. We see this time and time again. So at this point, I'm not in the fire Kyle Shanahan boat. Like that's dramatic. I saw Russ Dog, who won the belt today. Congratulations to Russ, as the first person in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320. I saw him say, is Kyle Shanahan lost a locker room? Like, no, we are many steps from that. We've seen this team get off to slow starts before, etc., etc. But I think when you're looking for reasons that they are 2-3 and you start just kind of piling up all these things that have gone wrong, you go, hey, this just feels like a team that isn't prepared situationally, isn't prepared against certain defenses. You had Nick Bosa yesterday talking about they're not making the right adjustments in games. Like, bro, this all to me comes back to the coaching staff.
Yeah, there's certainly a lack of discipline. And I mean, I think the special teams is something that we can just keep pointing to. The play where the linebacker hit the punter.
Just inexplicable.
One of the most ridiculously stupid plays. The dude is outstretched. You'd have plenty of time to veer, to stop, to do anything other than just like shove his leg and get a 15-yard penalty.
His leg.
Like, what are you doing?
Granted, it was only 5. It was only the 5 yards.
Okay.
The Niners still got the ball. But to your point, how is that not hammered into a player as a coach from the coach? Hey, avoid contact. That's why, like, when you're coming across for a block, that's why you see the guys dive horizontally.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to do everything you can to block the ball without hitting the kicker.
Of course.
Or the punter. Because if you miss it, you run into a penalty, right?
Yep.
Like you said, he runs up to him and then, like, sticks his arms out like he's going to catch his leg.
I don't know what he was doing.
Bro, what? Run behind him, run in front of him, fall down, somersault. I don't know. Do whatever you want to do.
And I don't want to like pick on one guy, but he's the same guy who missed a block on the
yes.
punt, right?
Yes. In Minnesota is Robert Beal.
Yeah, so like
an ineffective defensive end to boot.
Like at what point do you just go, hey man, what are we doing here with this guy?
But they like that right. That is one of a host of issues.
Yeah. And but finally, I think it speaks to the larger problem.
Yes.
That their lack of attention to detail, their lack of focus within the moment, mm-hmm. the drop passes, the fumble, the missed block on Purdy getting hit, like, in all honesty. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, man, you have to understand what's happening here. You have to understand they're going to send extra people at you. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that you have to get to a certain point in the field because you don't even have a field goal kicker. And you're down one point. So you need a field goal, but you need to get all the way down to the other end. I need you to move. I need you to be present and ready to go win a game. And it feels like there's sort of this laissez-faire personality of this team that it just laid back and like, okay, whatever happens, happens. And that's how you lose two games that you shouldn't lose.
Brock Purdy was pressured yesterday on 14 of his 41 dropbacks. That is a 34% pressure rate against a team that could not rush the passer. Mm. It is mind-numbing how a team that is supposed to be this talented is this bad in so many areas.
Yeah.
And I wish I had some like miracle solution. Go, hey, if they just did this, like, nah, man, you can talk about yesterday, okay, hey, why wasn't Deebo Samuel more involved? Why wasn't Juwan Jennings more involved? Juwan Jennings was dealing with a hand thing, I know, but Shanahan didn't mention it after the game and didn't mention it in his conference call this morning.
Yeah.
So, where was that? Mm-hmm. Where's the just reliance on the run game like we've seen in the past? They in a game that they led by 13 points at halftime and by 10 points in the fourth quarter, dropped back 41 times and ran it 22. That's 22 designed runs. They had 26 rushes, but four of those were Brock Purdy scrambles on dropbacks.
Yeah.
Like, what is this? And then you've got Brock Purdy after the game going like, yeah, we got to find our identity. Find your identity? What? You've been this running team, this smash mouth football, play action, boot, getting players open, run after catch. You've been this team for 5 years, and it's worked. What is this all of a sudden drop back and pass, and you're the 07 Patriots all of a sudden? Granted, the bad version of it, but why is that your offense now? I just don't. I am baffled by everything. The red zone stuff, the reliance on the dropback stuff, the inability to make adjustments defensively where you can go get a stop. Like, why is it that the 49ers can stack the box, load the box, and show, hey, we are trying to stop the run, and yet the Cardinals still run it 13 times for 77 yards in the second half? Mm. I'm sorry, that was just James Conner, the running back. Mm. 13 for 77 in the second half. And the 49ers stacking the box, loading the box, trying to stop the run. Yet when the Cardinals load up the box to stop the run, the Niners are like, hey, I know what we'll do. We're going to drop back. And we're going to throw it to our guys that can't separate. Like, that's what they want.
Yeah.
That's what they're playing you for. Like, go run the damn football. Run some play action. Brock Purdy ran 10 play action dropbacks yesterday. Out of 41 dropbacks.
Mm.
That's just not.
Well, I mean, the guy, I feel bad for Mason because, first of all, 14 carries, 89 yards. He should have had more opportunity. Mm-hmm. And the fumble, like, it just inexplicable. Like, you can't do that right there. But let's be honest, before that, he was excellent. And there's even the moment, like, if you're going to run Isaac Guerrero, I'm okay running Isaac Guerrero in the first half. Like, go ahead and get Mason a couple of carries off. Give him a sequence off, right? If that's what you need to do. But in the second half, I want to see the 49ers use Mason like the Cardinals just use Connor.
Yeah.
Like, why are you running Guerrero in the third quarter in like crucial downs? Why mm-hmm. are you running him? He doesn't know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know when his one cut is. He doesn't know when it is.
You want to run him between the 20s? Fine.
That's fine.
But yeah. To your point, first and goal at the 8 yesterday. Mm. First and goal at the 8. I forget exactly how they got down there. But it was Isaac Guerrero carry on first down for 3 yards or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then they go pass, 20-yard field goal. So you get to the 8-yard line, and not only do you pass it on two of your three downs, but your star running back touches it zero times?
Yeah.
Like, what? It is like Christian McCaffrey exited the picture, and Kyle Shanahan had no, for whatever reason, this guy who's supposed to be the offensive genius, this guy who has had the 49ers top 10 in scoring in like 4 out of the last 6 years, this guy who is this offensive genius, can't figure out life without Christian McCaffrey, even though you've been without him since training camp started?
Yeah, pretty
you
wild.
You still can't figure it out? It is inexplicable, and we've got plenty more to talk about. We'll dive into some of the specifics from this game. Easy for me to say. And the Kings wrapped up training camp. We're officially into the preseason. We'll, of course, have some Sacramento Kings talk for you right here on ESPN 1320. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. This is The Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. 49ers stink. Chris Biederman, friend of the program, writer at the Sacramento Bee, and co-host of the Candlestick Chronicles with me.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, October 12th, this Saturday, we've got a live event out at Cooperage Brewing in Santa Rosa. Hope to see everybody there.
Nice.
8 p.m. it starts. Come drink beer and talk football. Anyways, so he sent a text at halftime. And was like, feels like a game they're going to lose. Like, they're up 10. They got a blocked field goal for a touchdown and an interception, and they're only up 10. Like, ugh. Then they're cruising along, okay, not going great in the second half, but they're kind of keeping the Cardinals at arm's length. And then it was almost exactly what happened in the Rams game, where the Rams had really closed the gap where it was within one score. And then the Niners go down and they're just plugging away, and it looks like they're going to go down and kick a field goal late or score a touchdown to really put the game away. And Isaac Arendo goes around the left side, holding on Kyle Juszczyk, moves the Niners back, and they wind up having to kick a long field goal that Jake Moody missed. And that's exactly what they were cruising down the field, and then Jordan Mason fumbles. And the reason I say that this year's 49ers are just not good, like they just don't stack up with the previous couple of years, is because after Jordan Mason fumbled and the Cardinals recovered, I had zero confidence they were going to get a stop. And then I had zero confidence that they were going to go down and score a touchdown.
Yeah, I was with you. I mean, they just look disorganized, man. I don't know what it is. They just look like they think that they can beat anyone just by showing up and walking out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're waiting for this moment where they do have that killer instinct and they just put someone away. They just don't seem like they really care to put someone away. Mm-hmm. They're okay with it just being like a reasonably close game that they could lose.
Weird.
It is weird. It's weird because, like you said it early, they're a bad team. I think they're still like a really, really good collection of players.
Sure.
They're just not, they haven't figured something out. There's something missing, and you're just left with this like want the whole time of like, what exactly, who are you? What are you? And that's a problem. I mean, mm-hmm. I get where they're saying we don't have an identity, but here you have a guy who like is in the top like three in the NFL in rushing yards.
Mm-hmm.
You got guys that are catching the ball all over the place. You've got like a quarterback who's, you know, top four in passing yards. Like everything seems to be okay,
mm-hmm.
but nothing is working together. And you're not putting it all together for four quarters where you're winning games, where yeah. you're just blowing teams away. And again, I just feel like I look around the league and there are a lot of teams like this right now. There are. And, you know, there's a couple of teams that, you know, like we could look at Kansas City. Kansas City's been horrible all season.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched their games like nonstop. They have not been good at all. The fact that they're 4-0, I don't know, understand it. They're just not very good. Their defense is good. Their offense is atrocious. They're not moving the ball. They're not doing anything that really makes sense. You look at the Bengals. Not good.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many teams that I feel this way. Even watching the Dallas Cowboys last night. Okay, you got a ton of talent. You're just not very good.
Mm-hmm.
And
but the difference
is prevailing throughout the league.
But the difference is like the Cowboys found a way to win last night.
Yeah.
The Chiefs have found a way to win all of their games.
Yep.
And the difference this year with San Francisco is their defense is not like that's the big the overarching issue here
mm-hmm.
is will their offense figure out how to score in the red zone? Yeah, I think it will. And I think Brock Purdy will be better with distribution. He was bad. I did not think he played a good game yesterday. I think their offense is ultimately going to wind up being fine. But defensively, they have holes all over the defensive line. They have a hole at linebacker. Treverius Ward may or may not be good at football anymore. He seems to get cooked a lot.
I certainly know that there's some of their linebackers are just not good at football at all.
Yeah, that's right. That's
I'm just sitting there like, I can't believe that this is happening on the 49ers.
Right. There's a massive hole at linebacker. Treverius Ward might be cooked. Jair Brown did not take the leap that I thought he was going to take. I have never seen a player take more bad angles and miss more tackles. Yesterday, he read a screen perfectly. He slips the screen and then just whiffs the tackle.
Yeah.
Inexplicable. Malik Mustafa, God love him, has no idea what he's doing. Just no clue on an NFL football field yet. And he could get there. He's a rookie. I'm not going to put this on him. But when you're looking at the collective of the 49ers defense, there's just not a lot of guys on that defense that you're going, yeah, that's a really high level player. Fred Warner, for sure. Nick Bosa, for sure. After that, Diamondor Lenore's good. But it's like,
it's tough, man.
Yeah, and they have a first-time defensive coordinator. The irony of all this is they could really use Steve Wilkes right now.
I'm dead serious. In the booth or on the field?
On the field. Way better on the field. Way better on the field. No, but it's like the reason they parted with Steve Wilkes is because like they wanted this front-to-back defense, and Steve Wilkes was more of a secondary-oriented defensive coordinator, so the front seven wasn't tied together the way they wanted to be, and they thought there was a whole issue. Well, they don't have the dudes to run the defense they want to run, which is what they hired Nick Sorensen to do, is run this defense they want to run, except Nick Sorensen isn't experienced enough, I don't think, to make these massive adjustments that they need to be making on the fly. I've used this analogy before. Can you imagine if Domantas Sabonis said to just right before the start of the season, hey, decided I'm not going to play basketball anymore. I'm going to go be awesome at pickleball and just quit and just left.
Mm.
And then the Kings said, we're not going to change anything about our offense. Orlando Robinson, you step into the Domas spot. Right.
I've had these nightmares.
That would be insane.
The Domantas Sabonis pickleball champion.
I think pickleball because Rick Barry is like a massive pickleball honk.
Of course he is.
Just has a promo code that if we got him on the radio, he would give out his promo code for like this pickleball equipment website. Insane. It's totally insane.
Could RB24. You imagine just yelling at everybody, like just being bitter and angry.
The last person I'd ever want to play pickleball against.
Get out of my kitchen.
Dude, just the worst. I want no smoke with Rick Barry on the pickleball court.
Why does he keep underhanding everything, Kyle? Why is everything an underhand swing?
So it just, right, but that would be insane.
Yeah.
If they went, hey, okay, let's see. So our best player to run this particular offense is gone. We're just going to keep doing it.
Keep doing it.
That'd be nuts. And so the 49ers don't have the dudes to run the defense they want to run. And so now they're trying to adjust on the fly with a rookie defensive coordinator. And it's just a freaking calamity on that side of the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're not a trade away. They're like two or three trades away from being able to do what they want to do.
Yep.
And I just don't think that's going to get fixed this year. So now they're going to have to go in and try and win a bunch of shootouts. And oh, for this year. Not good at it yet.
I remember when we were talking about it early, like, why not go out and get Justin Simmons? Like, he's just sitting there. He's unemployed. And then he ended up getting a job.
Yes.
But up until, like, it was deep into the training camp session.
Yes.
And it's like
after preseason.
Why are you not going out and getting someone that can help you?
They told they had like Rayshon Jenkins or somebody like that in for a workout. He now starts, I believe, for the Seahawks. They had him in for a workout and basically said, yeah, no starting job available, but if you want to come be a backup, we got you.
Well, he's the guy who had the 101-yard fumble recovery for scoop and run yesterday, right?
Oh, was it?
Yeah, because I believe that was against me in fantasy football. Oof. Yeah, yeah.
Tough
loss.
Yeah, man. Just a tough scene. Just a tough scene all around for the 49ers. We'll continue talking about that. Let's talk about something fun, though. Kings training camp is over. The preseason has officially begun. We'll put a pin in the Niners stuff briefly, and we'll get to some Kings talk next. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
It was a mess last night at Dodger Stadium. Speaking of messes.
Yes.
Different kind of mess than the one we saw at Levi Stadium, and certainly a different kind of mess than, what's it called? Is it still, it's not Sports Authority Field anymore. Sports Authority closed a long time ago.
Yeah.
Wherever the Broncos play now.
I don't know. What used to be Mile High?
Yeah. Maybe that's what it's just called again.
Yeah, maybe. No, it probably has some crazy name.
Chatty House, what's the name of the Broncos stadium?
Yeah, somebody help us out
somebody
here.
Somebody will know.
Yeah. Or they'll look it up for us.
No, but just real quick, if you missed it, we'll get to Kings talk here for sure. But and 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That's the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Phone lines are open. If you want to talk about the Kings, you want to talk about your frustrations with the 49ers, maybe you're frustrated with the Raiders. Chance to go up 17-3 yesterday and throw a 100-yard pick six instead and end up losing 34-18. Whew. That's tough. I think I'd rather lose that way than the way the 49ers lost, though. Just to be clear.
Yeah, maybe. It's called Empower Field at Mile High.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. If you had given me multiple choice, I would have gotten that right. Empower Field at Mile High Stadium. Gross. No, what happened to Dodger Stadium last night? And if you missed it, there was some chirping going on between Jerks and Profar, the Padres left fielder, and some Dodger fans. And Fernando Tatis, the right fielder, and some Dodger fans. And Profar went over to give a fan a baseball. He had robbed a home run right in front of this fan. And then kind of taunted the fan afterwards. And then a while later, I don't know how many innings later, but goes over to like hand this fan who's sitting in the front row a ball.
Mm-hmm.
And that fan immediately takes it and hucks it towards the infield.
Oh.
Security guard does nothing, which is wild.
Yeah, it needs to be removed instantly.
Right, immediately. And security guard's watching this whole thing go down. So fan throws it. Profar is like, what the heck, man? Goes back to his position. And then another fan from further up throws a ball at Profar. And then it just got heated after that.
Mm.
There's security on the field, lining the lines. They had to delay the game. Just a disaster. But on the other hand, the two NLDS games yesterday were incredible. These teams and these fan bases, Mets and Phillies, Dodgers, Padres, hate each other so much. And it is so entertaining to watch.
Yeah, I think also watching the way the Padres responded and the way that Manny Machado pulled all of his teammates together in the dugout. Yes. Like, first of all, he's been a hothead his whole career.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to be the guy that, like, kind of galvanized people, like...
Crazy.
I have a feeling that team's going to be tough to beat.
Yeah.
I do. I think that team's going to be tough to beat.
They got... It feels like they have a lot of dudes that just live for this exact moment.
Yeah, totally.
And Joe Musgrove being hurt and having the UCL injury, that's obviously devastating for their pitching staff. But if they can get some guys out, they're gonna be really hard to beat. So excited to watch the rest of the NLDS between the Dodgers and the Padres. But with baseball playoffs means the NBA season is right around the corner. The Sacramento Kings have officially finished up training camp. So how does this work for you? So in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
there's training camp, and then the preseason starts. And there are some people who believe that training camp is then over. Camp is the 2 weeks leading up to the first preseason game, and then that's, to me, it's all camp. Everything's training camp. Training camp and the preseason are one and the same.
I think that's what I've always kind of considered it too. But officially, Saturday was the last day of training camp, and I believe the distinction might be this. It might be that during training camp you can have 2-a-days, you can have, you know, like your practice schedule, whatever. So you always have media day on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So 5 days of training camp. And during that 5 days, I think they had 7 practices. And then they take Sunday off. And then Monday, today,
mm-hmm.
1 o'clock, this is practice. This is practice for Wednesday's training camp, for Wednesday's preseason opener against the Golden State Warriors.
What do they do differently?
To be honest with you, this team can't really do anything differently.
Great.
You know, normally I would say this is where you start to see a little bit of a paring down of like very distinct. You have first team, you have second team, you have third team, you have fourth team. And when the fourth team doesn't get enough like play time in scrimmages and stuff like that, some of the third team and the fourth team and some other guys will jump in and they'll do 5-on-5
mm-hmm.
on it. After practice and, you know, to kind of keep it going, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not what's going to happen with this team because this team is missing, at this point, now 5 dudes.
Mm-hmm.
So Orlando Robinson's been ruled out for a month. And again, that gets super complicated because I'm not sure where Orlando Robinson lands in the hierarchy of the Kings, you know, like summer acquisitions.
Sure.
They gave him a $500,000 guarantee. And now he's going to be out for a month. I mean, when will he play? I'm not sure. And that's at a minimum. He has a sprained left MCL.
Mm-hmm.
So look, I think there are spots open on this roster. But when you're walking into a practice and the only true bench players that you have, the true second team guys that you have available to you, if you're Mike Brown,
mm-hmm.
are Malik Monk and Alex Len. And everybody else is either a two-way or a G League or a, you know, like 11 through 15 on your roster.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. Like, so I would like to say like, hey, this is going to be totally fine. It's not so much about getting healthy as much as it is like, look, you're supposed to be gearing up for a season where you're playing the Golden State Warriors on Wednesday, who I believe have already played preseason games.
Yeah, they played in Honolulu.
Yeah, and as
Lindy Waters game-winning 3 as time expired to knock off the Clippers.
There
watch
you go.
Out, everybody.
Well, I think that, I mean, this is what you want, though. You want to have competition, right? Mm-hmm. And I think even last season, if you look at how, you know, the roster was assembled, like in training camp, the first 5 days, it was De'Aaron Fox versus Davion Mitchell every day.
Mm-hmm.
It was Kevin Huerter against Keon Ellis, but also Chris Duarte. It was, you know, these guys were being tested like every single step of the way against guys that they are like competing for rotational minutes with.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like that's the case at this point. And that's not to like bag on guys that are working their way into the league or fighting for a roster spot or a two-way player. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just like the sheer experience factor is in play here.
Is it a matter of, because I hear that, and this is, again, just want to tie the 49ers in, this is one of the issues I first saw for them this year is, man, I'm not sure that they're super deep at any spots. And is the Kings is the lack of what you're talking about, like Kevin Herter v. Chris Duarte and De'Aaron Fox against Davion Mitchell.
Yeah.
Is the lack of those matchups due to, A, the Kings don't have the depth to make those matchups happen, or is it injury related? Because obviously Devin Carter's out, obviously Kevin Herter's out, and then the top end guys are just set where, yeah, that competition isn't really a necessity.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a combination, but at the end of the day, I mean, it's not just Kevin Herter and Devin Carter. It's Trey Lyles and it's Jordan McLaughlin as well. And then even if you want to consider Orlando Robinson, I mean, he was a guy looking at like the 14th roster spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
13th, 14th roster spot. Well, those are guys that typically, like during a training camp, are going to give you minutes. They're guys that are going to be competing for time. And that's just, again, it's, this isn't by design. Like the Kings didn't intend to come into the camp with, you know, again, you're going to be running like Scalabissier and Terry Taylor and Broderick Thomas out there a whole bunch on the court because they at least have some NBA experience.
Mm-hmm.
So what you don't want to do is you're teaching young guys what your play sets are and how to play the game. And, you know, again, a couple of two-way guys, you know, Mason Jones is getting some burn, like a whole bunch of practice time. Colby Jones is getting a bunch of practice time. But again, like that's not who you would typically have your starters going up against like nonstop in camp. They would be part of rotations for sure. But having your team, your starters go up against five guys who will basically might make up your G League roster, that isn't typically ideal. This isn't like a scout team thing where, you know, you have your first team, you have your second team, and then you're running some dude out there as your scout team quarterback as a, you know, when you're coaching high school football or something.
Yeah.
It's just a weird situation where they have a bunch of injuries early in camp or coming into camp with a bunch of injuries. And so you're kind of left with whatever's remaining.
Yeah.
And it's not the easiest situation.
888. Nope, that's not right. 916-909-1320. 916-909-1320. This is the Insiders. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Leader. The Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's up, Don?
What's up? What's up? It's Don from the River Cats.
What's up, dude? My man. It's great to meet you, by the way. Yeah. Appreciate you.
Yeah, I'm just currently looking at the Kings roster, and I remember 2 years ago when I learned that we signed Keon Ellis to the undrafted deal or the two-way deal that he got. I was super excited because I was like, this guy actually looks like he can project to be an NBA player, and it's great that we're seeing that from him. I actually haven't been able to scout any of these guys, but James, do you think that any of these guys that are on the Kings training camp roster could potentially, in a couple years' time, show up like Keon Ellis did and get NBA minutes as a rotational role player?
Man, that's a good question.
Thanks for the call, Don. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Okay, so first of all, I think the Kings have done a really, really good job of bringing along a couple of young players, right? There was a time, like the 2016, 17, 18 season, where there was so much oversaturation of young players, and it's so hard to bring a group of young players forward together. Like, we're seeing OKC do it right now, right? But they just caught lightning in a bottle. They had a bunch of players that have worked out. They maybe have found players that were much better than you thought, but also they found role players. They've converted some of those young players into role players, and they've really found success doing it. That doesn't usually happen. Mm-hmm. And so I like what the Kings have done here in the last couple of years because it's been a hyper-focus on one or two individuals. Mm-hmm. So it was Davion Mitchell. They had... And then, you know, when they drafted Keegan Murray, it's like, hey, look, these are our young guys, and we're going to play those young guys with like seven or eight veterans all the time, and we're going to bring these guys along. And then you had a guy like Keon Ellis go to the G League and just develop quickly and get stronger and get bigger and like really like understand the role that he was going to play at the next level, which was the role he had in college. So to have a guy like this kind of pop up is huge. Mm-hmm. But again, I think going into this season, Keon Ellis is going to be the only guy, the only young guy that truly plays. Because yeah. Devin Carter's hurt. Like mm-hmm. there's a possibility of Devin Carter we would throw in this mix too.
Sure.
But this is going to be like Keegan Murray is entering his third season. He's now a veteran at this point. And then Keon Ellis, who's really in his second season as a pro. And then I don't think a lot of these guys will play major minutes this year. But if there is a guy I would kind of circle and single out, I think Mason Jones, but he has NBA experience. He might be a guy that finds his way up, and you know they might use that two-way contract that he has for more minutes than you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is a good buzz about, Isaac Jones? Let me see.
Sure.
There's two. The other, so you have Isaiah Crawford, who's a 6'6" small forward, and you have mm-hmm. Isaac Jones, who's the long, like 6'8", but like huge wingspan.
Washington State or Zach Crawford?
No, Washington State. You're right, but he also went to Wenatchee Valley College. He went to Idaho and then Washington State.
Wenatchee Valley, well known basketball factory.
Yes, yeah. It is a basketball factory. So, 24-year-old and a guy who they've had in Sacramento for quite a while this summer, and really like he. Body wise, he's like mm-hmm. already stacked on a bunch of weight.
Yeah.
So maybe he's able to find some sort of moment here. Mm-hmm. But I also think like if you're coming out of camp and you had to make roster decisions, a guy like Terry Taylor, you would probably keep over a lot of other people because he has yep. NBA experience. Yep. Broderick Thomas, maybe Scalabies here, because you know that they have a track record somewhat. And you might need them. Like, right. We don't know when Trey Lyles is going to be back. And mm-hmm. if you're going to walk into a season and you don't know if Trey Lyles is going to be back in 2 weeks or, you know, they're going to reevaluate him in 3 weeks from, well, like, a week ago Friday. So, like, he's halfway into mm-hmm. his 3 weeks. But there's a possibility his groin injury, like, keeps him out longer or he has to build up to play. And then if you're starting the regular season, I would rather walk into the season with somebody who has played in the NBA mm-hmm. and who has some experience than, and it's possible that having a two-way player like, you know, Isaac Jones, maybe that does work, but it's more likely that the Kings would rely on somebody who at least has some experience or yeah. go out and get someone else at this point.
And it's just to kind of build on that, it's important to remember that Keon Ellis wasn't an undrafted rookie last year who just stepped on the court day one and was awesome.
Yeah.
Like there's a development process here, and that's what excites me about these younger players,
mm-hmm.
especially a guy like Isaac Jones who just kind of popped in the summer league to me just with his size.
Yeah,
and if they are non-factors this year, there's definitely a chance to be a factor next year, even if it's in a like small role, the way we saw with Keon Ellis early on. If that's a development program and development path that the Kings are going to have players on, and even if it's once every two or three drafts. That they find a player who's a contributor, like that's a huge win. Like that is such a great way to build a team. And if you can, I mean, if you're consistently churning out players via that process, I'm not too worried. The goal of that was to say I'm not super worried about young guys contributing this year.
Yeah, exactly. And
they're in a good program.
And I'd even say this too. If you look at the way the Kings upper team is doing it, right, where they only have one or two guys that are young that are actually playing like legitimate minutes,
mm-hmm.
go to the G League and it's a lot of the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of their G League team is a guy like Scal, who's 28 years old. It is like Jalen Noel. Mm-hmm. They had, you know, all kinds of guys on that roster last year.
Stanley Johnson?
Yeah, Stanley, 26, 27, 28 year old guys that are down there.
Jeremy Lamb.
Yeah,
sorry.
Jeremy Lamb. No, it's fine. Yeah, Chance Comanche, who was an older player, and then we don't want to talk about what happened there. But a lot of the players that they had were older and more, mm-hmm. you know, what they are as they're refined in who they are as players.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go send a Colby Jones down there to go run that team, or you send a Keon Ellis, they're being supported the right way by players that know their role and know how to help a young player. Like mm-hmm. sort of refine who he is. And so I like the system that they have right now. I think they've done a really good job. And for me, the G League should always be about that. It should be about finding two or three players that you can maybe create into a specific type of NBA player, mm-hmm. a 3-and-D wing, a Montrezl Harrell, like crazy, super athlete, undersized center.
Yeah.
You know, these are types of players that you might be able to harness into something. And you know, so good on them for finding a guy like Keon and developing him.
DeMar DeRozan compared him to Alex Caruso. And I feel like that's a perfect comp, and I don't know... He has a way to go to be as accomplished as Caruso has been. You have to start stringing together seasons, obviously. Not that Alex Caruso is some all-NBA player, but it feels like Keon's on that track. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how that comp didn't hit us sooner, given how often we talked about Alex Caruso playing for the Kings.
No, I totally agree.
He's right there. It's just they have it already.
I think Alex Caruso is maybe a little bit like further developed.
Yeah, he's been in the league a lot longer.
Yeah, he's stronger. He's got like the adult, you know, body at this point. But I think it's a really good comp, and I think DeMar DeRozan, who played with Caruso last year in Chicago, is pretty spot on. He's just said, "Hey, look, you have to have guys like that on your team. Good teams have guys like this," and that's what we keep saying. Like, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I don't think is like some all-world NBA player, but he's won a couple of championships, and he has a very refined role everywhere he goes.
Yep.
He knows exactly who he is, what he is. Think of Danny Green. Danny Green just bounced around like playing on high level teams because he played defense, he hit 3-point shots. And that's who Keon Ellis is. So I think it was an interesting comp, and I really liked it from DeMar.
Yeah, man. If Keon Ellis just became Alex Caruso, you'd take that, right?
Oh, heck yeah. Two-time All-NBA defender.
Yes. Top 11th in DPOY voting in 22-23, 10th in DPOY voting last year. All defense, first team in 23, and then second team last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking it.
And every team in the league is pining for him.
Yes.
Like every team in the league tried to trade for him. The Warriors tried to trade multiple times. Yes. I think teams were offering 2 first round picks for him.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And Oklahoma City acquiring him was like,
of course.
They've done it. They've figured it out.
Of course they have.
What? For freaking, what's his name? Josh Giddey. That's crazy to me.
Hey.
Like of all the things, I get why the Bulls did it for on-court reasons.
Yeah.
Like I understand you want to take a bet on a young player who might just be a triple-double machine. Sure. But man, I felt like a swindle for OKC given how Giddey's playoffs went.
No, I totally agree.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Keon Ellis. Shout out to DeMar DeRozan for that comp, because I genuinely have no idea how we didn't land there.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Right, we just
I think it's interesting too, like sort of the conversation that keeps coming up to DeMar is like, hey, what about your spacing? What about your spacing? There seems to be a lot of concern about how DeMar DeRozan will impact the Kings spacing. And like, look, I think it's legitimate. DeMar did say, like, if you keep asking that, like maybe you don't know ball. Like, and there's some legitimacy to that as well. You have a guy who's, you know, like entering his 16th season and it hasn't been a huge issue anywhere else. Why would it be an issue here?
Mm-hmm.
So I get all of that. But I also think like when you ask him about like the DHO with Sabonis, he instantly says crazy things like it's like you cannot defend it at all. Like what we're going to be able to do as a 2-man game is something that around the league they will try to game plan for, and they will not find a way to stop it. And it's because they both have huge basketball IQ. They both have the ability to like move off the ball. They have all of like so much experience between them, but again, like off the charts basketball IQ.
Yeah,
where once they get a feel for each other and they've already developed a lot of that, I think that they're going to have no problems like being really effective. And then Mike Brown said something crazy. He said, I want to see Domantas Sabonis take 3 to 5 threes per game. And if...
And wait, hang on.
Yeah, so if...
Agreed, Mike.
But Mike's saying is like, look, he shot really well last year, but I need to see him be able to do that in larger doses. So so if he's shooting 3 but his percentage drops to 32%, we might back off a little bit. But if he's hitting 5... I mean, if he's shooting 5 and he's still around 35, 36, 37%, no, let it fly, because that's gonna change.
That's the wrinkle, man. Like that's the one. You can change how your spacing off the dribble handoff, and you can change who's cutting where and who's going. You can do all that. To me, the single biggest wrinkle that they can throw at teams is Domas stepping out and hitting that. Above, not above the break, but top of the arc 3 with enough frequency that that center now has to come out, or whoever's defending him has to come out. Like, you want to talk spacing? Like, that's going to create spacing.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, you want him to be able to walk into that three at the top of the key.
Yeah.
We do have breaking news.
Oh.
Shams Charania. I am honored to join ESPN as the company's senior NBA insider. I can't wait to be part of the incredible group of colleagues at ESPN and serve the sports audience worldwide.
What?
Shams has officially joined ESPN per his Twitter handle.
Shams ESPN?
Yeah. He will be replacing the great Adrian Wojnarowski, who stepped away from the game to go to St. Bonaventure.
To be the GM at St. Bonaventure of their basketball team, not to just go back to school.
Yeah.
Just to be clear.
Yeah. So.
This is shocking news. I don't know how anyone could have seen this coming. Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't believe that this has happened.
What incredible. No, this is, dude, this. Okay, so I heard that Woj quit on a dime like he did because he didn't want to tell people and then have it get to Shams and have Shams break the news.
Oh.
Like, that was his deathly fear, and that's why he just sprung it on his bosses.
Phew.
But I contend that this has been in the works because a deal like this with Shams doesn't come together in a month.
He was already going into free agency as a reporter.
Yes.
And I think that they were hoping to add him as
yes.
well
yes.
As Woj.
Yes.
And I don't know how that dynamic would have worked.
Yes.
But I certainly think that at this point, like, we kind of saw the writing on the wall.
If it was Woj just was like, hey, you know what? I'm gonna hang it up. I just don't want Shams to break it. You'd give him like a 2-week notice.
Mm-hmm.
You'd give him something. You'd go, hey, you know what? As of, you know, effective October 1, I'm going to go be the GM. But no, he quit and bounced. He was done that day.
Yeah.
Left him high and dry.
Yep.
But I'm out of here. And I think it's because he knew that this was coming.
Yeah.
This all supports my theory. This is called confirmation bias, folks. Confirming my priors. Okay. We got to pay some bills. We'll keep talking Kings. We'll keep talking Niners. And mad props. Tough week for your boy in mad props.
Mm.
Really tough week. We'll have Jesse Tapia, producer of D'Lo and Casey, coming in for that as well. All coming up in the second hour. Jam-packed. 11 o'clock hour. Hope you stick with us here on ESPN 1320 and Sacramento Sports Center.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.